Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Time to enter into an agreement with Hamas. Yigal Marcus is a member of the Republican Overseas. He joins us this morning. Yigal, thank you for joining us once again. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you as well. So firstly, where are we? Because we had this indication from Donald Trump, from Netanyahu, that it was very, very close to a deal, but it is dragging on a little bit longer than they anticipated.
Yeah, I like, and I know they've been saying that, but at the end of the day, Hamas does not want to give up arms, and it doesn't want to be thrown out of the country. So the way that they're thinking about it is saying, you know, why would we give up more valuable, you know, in their mind, hostages, when in fact their end game that's going to be acceptable to Israel and both the United States of America is actually quite bleak. And so they want to retain as much of the negotiating power as possible. So I don't think we're much closer, which is why Steve Witkoff came back yesterday and said they're thinking afresh and trying to come up with a different approach to this to try to get some kind of end of the war deal done. But I'm not sure that we're much closer than we were. I think they were hoping that we'd get something in the interim, but there doesn't seem to be any imminent deal, at least from what I've been reading and the reports that I've been getting.
So what's interesting to me as well is that in many ways, it actually might not be the right time. And obviously, the hostages in Gaza every day is every minute is torturous. It's unimaginable what they're going through. But in terms of Hamas itself, surely at such a point, at this point in the war, it would be better to crush them completely than to pause and give them the opportunity to catch their breath.
Absolutely. I think that the distribution of aid that we've seen, which is not in their hands, has been a game changer, because on one hand, Israel, you know, the current offensive is really putting pressure on them. It's dividing the strip into zones that are completely controlled by Israel, and they no longer have cash coming in to fill their coffers from the stealing and distribution of aid that they used to do at, you know, exorbitant prices. So they're really being squeezed on all sides. And when we have the opportunity to crush and destroy them at this point, you know, I'm not exactly sure, honestly, why not? Like, why not just finish the job already? An interesting point, Howard, that when you look at the bigger picture and you read the headlines today, there are two headlines that are side by side. There's Hamas, and then there's the deal with Iran. And what's fascinating is that they really are interconnected. If you think about it, Iran, you know, an Iranian deal that is going to allow them to have all their sanctions relieved and their coffers being filled up. Israel views that simply as a step before Hamas's coffers get filled up again. And so I think that's why you're seeing Israel put on the pressure big time that either we have a deal that allows for zero enrichment, or Israel is going to attack, and it's not going to wait another month to attack. The reports are that Israel have been in the last days and certainly weeks have been really, preparing for that attack, and they're interconnected. So Israel would feel more comfortable doing some kind of deal that ends the war with Hamas if it knows that on the day after, its coffers aren't going to be refilled, allowing them to rearm, allowing them to repeat, God forbid, what happened on October 7th, which is why you have both of these things happening simultaneously. And how goes Iran, I think, will be a determinant in how the Gaza war continues.
So it's, in fact, Iran will determine Gaza, not Gaza influencing Iran as well, because the way in which President Trump has negotiated with Saudi Arabia, with Qatar, with the Houthis, from the American standpoint anyway, with Turkey, Syria, seems to be a policy to isolate Iran rather than addressing Iran, even though they are to some extent with these negotiations. It seems to have worked in other cases the other way around. Here you're saying Hamas is totally dependent on Iran, not the other way, not the other way around.
Yeah, absolutely. If were not for Iran, Hamas effectively doesn't exist. The street in Gaza hates Hamas now. We're seeing that. The pressures on them, the Palestinians in Gaza are sick and tired of what they've been put through. And the only real ability for Hamas to survive is getting the support, both military and financial support, from Iran. And so, and I think everyone sees that. And that's interesting that if you read again, France came out, I think overnight, and said that, we may have to snap back all the sanctions against Iran, because I think they realize that with Iran still being allowed to enrich, and when I say enrich, I don't just mean enrich plutonium, but also enrich themselves by relieved sanctions, that's unacceptable to Israel. Israel will just not accept that. And what they'll have to do is they'll have to go and end the Iranian nuclear pursuit, and as at the same time continue their war. But if they can snap back sanctions, they can really pressure Iran to end all of their and destroy all of their nuclear capabilities, and it's verified, and the international community guarantees it. Then at least that from an Israeli's perspective, they may be it may be a better environment to get to a end of war deal, still requiring Hamas to be out of the country, still requiring them to be disarmed, and hopefully bring an end to this so that Israel can live securely again.
There's been a fair amount of rumor and speculation about the relationship between Hamas in Qatar versus Hamas in Gaza. That was a few days ago. It's gone fairly quiet. Have you heard anything about that relationship?
I haven't heard anything different than what's been in the headlines. Qatar is very good at playing both sides of the coin. They like, they're giving away $400 million planes to the U.S., and at the same time have been the biggest source of funding to U.S. educational institutions to try and effectively reshape American society and affect its great democracy. So they have it both ways. This issue with Hamas, and I think you're seeing that with just even beyond Qatar, is it's become an annoyance. People want to move forward. We see that in Saudi Arabia, where MBS wants to try to move forward with normalization and pursuing their national interests. But this war in Gaza is just everything remains on pause. And so people are like, let's just get it done with already. Like, yeah, if we have to end Hamas, we have to end Hamas. But to continue like this, is really holding up everything. And so they do play both sides both sides of the coin. I don't trust them as far as I could throw them, but I do believe that there is tension brewing, because there really is no end game here, right? Hamas will not disarm and go into exile. Well, everyone demands that they do. So now what do you? So what you do is you do what Israel's doing, which is you got to go in and on one hand destroy Hamas, on the other hand ensure that we have a safe way of distributing humanitarian aid so that people don't suffer, and that Hamas doesn't refill their coffers with cash. So, we're doing what we have to do to try to get an end game here. But I, for a jihadist organization like Hamas that doesn't value life and actually values death, it may come to that ultimately and bring their end.
Surely the best way, therefore, to do it would be to let Qatar see that there's no value anymore for them in Hamas, because surely for them, it's Hamas have just been a tool in terms of the way in which they have waged whatever war it is on the West that they are able to have been able to wage fairly unhindered for many years. Hamas is just another one of their weapons. If it doesn't work, if they see that it's failed, they'll simply discard it and move on to something else.
Yeah, I is Israel views them as, to try to make the other side. They are, they're not a country this day, but I wouldn't put too much credence and importance into them. I think the bigger issue here is the U.S. and how Israel is going to decide. Israel is not going to be dictated by Qatar in terms of what they want and what their aspirations are. If Qatar gets tired of negotiating, that's fine. That's bad for Hamas, and that will be an additional pressure point on Hamas. But Qatar in itself, I wouldn't put too much credence into them. They have a lot of money, but when you get beyond that, people, you know, the kimono is coming off, and people realize just what kind of regime they really are. Except with the exception of apparently, you know, unless you give a $400 million plane to yes. the U.S. Or, you know, U.S. military, you know, that's whatever. No comment on that.
Right. Well, I think your no comment has been a comment. But that's where we leave it. Yigal Marcus, member of the Republicans Overseas, talking about the ceasefire discussions that are underway. Is there a chance of success? Yigal, thank you. As always, at 7 o'clock, let's go to news headlines.